First Baptist Church of Redmond, April 1st, 2018, Easter Sunday, an open miracle.
This is from John 20, verses 1 through 2. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." You may be seated. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We live in an era that is characterized by contrasts. There's an enormous amount of superstition that's going on today, and there is also an enormous amount of reliance on the material world. If you can't see it, if you can't test it, there must be nothing to it. Particularly mocked are people like us who have a faith in Christ. Examples of that mocking are surrounding us everywhere. When you begin to talk to someone and tell them that you believe in God, you believe in the Bible is the truth, the Bible is a book for guidance, that Jesus Christ came to save sinners, and one day you expect to see him in heaven, they will respond to you as people might respond to this very next slide. They're going to think you're nuts. There's a picture, matter of fact, I found this online. There's a plane. What's by that? It must be, what? An unidentified flying object. People think, what's going on? I don't understand. And when you talk to people about the Bible, about God, about Jesus, about the resurrection, about heaven and hell, about seeing him one day, they might look at you in the same way that I look at background for myself. This kind of jumps out at me because when I was a young person, I was really into this, and it took a little while, even after I got saved, to not think about the little green men. And I actually postulated as I got saved, how did Jesus witness to the people from other planets? That's another story that I've answered in my own mind. I don't worry about that. But, you know, that phrase from that tagline is, the truth is out there, and we seek truth. You and I seek truth. I put that thing on the sign, that quote from C.S. Lewis that influences me as I was thinking about things for today, is that I believe in Jesus. I also see how the sun around me and the sky has influenced me, because both of them have the same impact. The sun influences how I can see the things around me. And knowing Christ is my Savior influences how I see things and people and even time itself around me. When we speak about the miraculous, what we're talking about is something that God has done that's out of the ordinary physical laws, out of the ordinary of human history, something that if it naturally happened, it would be a shock. Because of the brief history I just gave you in my youth, I've become a skeptic as I've gotten older. People tell me a lot of things, but I need to look things up. And sometimes I even don't believe it if it's on Snopes. I want to double check and see what's going on with that. When we talk about Jesus' resurrection miracle, because the resurrection of Christ was miraculous, the average person, you don't go to their funeral and then all of a sudden have coffee with them the next week. This is uncommon. This is unusual. How can we talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, it's very simple. We talked about seeking truth. We talked about examining things. We'll examine Jesus the same way that we would any other event in history. Eyewitness accounts. So the Gospels are valuable. That's why the first thing that people want to do when they start to denigrate your faith is denigrate Scripture. So we're going to take a look at John chapter 20. Because one way that people will be famous and easily mentioned in culture is to claim that, well, I'm a religious person. I have, and when people say they're a religious person or spiritual, I talk about this in Sunday school, I don't know what that means. Because if I'm spiritual, it means I'm connected with the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to follow his influence. But a lot of people say, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious. And I don't know what that means between you and me. Really, I think it means that they want to think higher of themselves than they ought, but don't want any God, Jesus, or Bible telling them what to do. I have an example. This is a famous heretic. I've got one or two of his books just to study. And if you want to be famous, as I've said, claim to be a religious person and claim that nothing in the Bible is true. You'll get rich doing that. Okay? The question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? That is our question. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Did a miracle happen? Did something outside of the normal of life happen? And for me, the answer is yes. Yes. What we're going to do is look at a couple of eyewitness accounts recorded for us in Scripture, that the record of Scripture, that these passages, these belong in the Bible. There's no question, there's no doubt. What we want to do is see what these individuals did, said, and how their lives changed as a result, and how the surrounding culture changed, and how Jesus exactly is in control of history, how John wrote these things down for us to see, and how they were received. And if anything else, if they were going to lie, they lied the wrong way. They didn't lie very well. John chapter 20 begins by looking at some ladies, particularly Mary Magdalene, coming to the cross. In the second century AD, there's a Greek philosopher named Celsus. Celsus was a critic of anything religious and spiritual in general, but Christianity in particular. And one reason he said, yeah, why would anyone believe the resurrection of Christ? It's obviously a phony story. Why is that? Well, it's because it was based on the testimony of women. And we know, Celsus would write, that women are hysterical, emotional. They're imbalanced. You can't trust a thing a woman would say. Why would she say anything? And if Christianity, the basis of Christianity is on the testimony of these women running to the tomb and what they saw, it can't mean anything. A response to that correctly has been made by a Christian writer-philosopher, John Polkinghorne, who has said perhaps the strongest reason of taking the stories of the empty tomb absolutely serious lies in the fact that it is women who play the leading role. John the Apostle, who wrote this passage, is going to go out of his way to uplift the testimony of these women to make them look positive in their comparison to the disciples and show how God moves through everyone. And you heard testimonies of ladies today on the platform intentionally. Amen. We have one more lady we're saving for the very end. But God moves through us. Bible says Jesus Christ, the same male and female. So we all come to Christ equally. We all come to Him the same. While it was dark, while it was still dark, recognize the time of the morning. So what time did the sun up today, come up today? Like 5 o'clock or something. So these ladies were ready. They were ready to go and prepare Jesus' body. It pictures the condition and minds also of Jesus' followers because they were in a fog. If I can expand on that a little bit. Jesus had died. We're going to talk about this. Jesus had announced to his disciples more than once, perhaps as many as three times, that he was going to be taken, he was going to be killed, and he would rise again the third day. And when the Gospels record these things, it almost always follows it with the explanatory phrase, they understood none of these things. Why is that? Sometimes Jesus would speak in parables. Sometimes he would speak with extra meaning for his words. Remember the time when he said, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees when they're in this boat? And they looked among themselves, he's telling us we didn't get any bread. That's what he means. We didn't get any bread. We didn't buy any leaven. Good thing we didn't buy leaven from those Pharisees and Sadducees. And he turned around and said, no, we're speaking about their teaching, because that would work its way through everything you believe. So when Jesus would speak these things, sometimes they were afraid to ask him questions. When you see Mary speaking, talking to people, talking to the individuals she met, she says, we don't know where they laid him. Mary, who would have heard, would have known, was one of the inner group of disciples, had heard Jesus speak about the resurrection, was someone who said, his body is gone. I've come to take care of it. I've come to fix it. I've come to prepare it for burial, for future prep. Later on, they would come and expectedly take the bones that were still inside the wrapping, put them in a bone box, ossuary. She's getting ready for that. She's doing what her job was. So the Bible says, for they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Of course they knew what Jesus had been saying. But they didn't understand what that meant for themselves. You ever had that? Lots of times you hear things, you know how a story goes, you know what people are going to say. You've been to the doctor, and the doctor has said, if you do this and do this, this will happen. And you'll say, yeah, right. And on the way home, Jack in the Box. Okay? Or they say, listen, you know, I know you're tired in the morning. You need to go to bed. And all of a sudden you look down, Godzilla's got another half an hour left, and it's 12:30. So blah, blah, blah. So you think, you hear things, but until it affects your soul, your mind, it doesn't really influence anything about you. When Mary turned and saw Jesus standing there, she didn't realize what was happening. Chapter 20, verse 14. Mary faced someone she did not expect. I mean, it hadn't been that long before Jesus had long ago that Jesus had died. She was not expecting him, even though she had heard the words. Think of the disciples. The disciples initially did not go to the tomb on that morning. Why? Well, it was the ladies' job. The ladies were going to go and prepare the body. Why should I go? Even though Jesus had said he would rise on that third day. Jesus was going to rise. Why did they go? Well, what did that mean? What did that mean? What am I supposed to do about that? Why would they go to the tomb? What do the words mean? What did Jesus say? I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that? And then Jesus took Lazarus from the grave. So those words about not understanding what Jesus had said was also true about them. What is going on? As a matter of fact, when they heard that Jesus was gone and they began to discuss what's going on, they looked inside, things are folded up, it's not how it's supposed to be. What did they do? They turn around and they went home. They went back where they were staying. They didn't go out and rejoice. We talk about Easter Sunday. They didn't go out with Easter Sunday rejoicing. They didn't go and say, hey, Jesus has... They didn't do that. They went home because they still weren't quite certain what they had seen. Very likely, John the Apostle, when he went to where he was staying, very likely his Aunt Mary, who had been married to Joseph, was very likely there. I wish they would have a little chapter about what her response was, but that's not in Scripture. I'm sure she would have been excited. I'm sure she was rejoicing. Later on, when we see the disciples gathered again in John chapter 20, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled. Why? For fear of the Jews. This is how Jesus found them when he appeared to them, is they had gotten together, they talked, and they said, we better get in here, we better lock ourselves in so we can be safe. Because we're going to be criticized because we said Jesus was going to rise. The Jews killed him. They made sure he was buried with the seal. And now the body's gone. They're going to come and get us and question us. What have you done with him? What did you do? What is your plan? They were afraid. Because if the Jews would crucify Jesus, they did remember that Jesus said the servant is what? Not above his master. So if they killed Jesus, what are they going to do to us? So this is their concern, was to save their lives. They were afraid, hiding behind locked doors. Remember, who's writing this? John the Apostle. One of the ones who was in there, afraid, hiding behind locked doors. He exposes his own humility. Lifting up the faith of the women who are coming back and say, listen, something has happened. Something's going on. And he talks about the rest of them. Well, lifting up the women's activity, their faith. And they seem to perhaps have had more thought process about what's going on, what Jesus is saying. We come back to Mary. When Mary is there looking, this focused woman looked an angel in the eye. There were two angels in there when she poked her head in. And, Mary, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He has no ridicule or sarcasm. He knows why she's crying. She's wondering what's happened to the Lord, what's to the Lord's body. She doesn't even blink. She just starts talking to an angel. We see Mary continue to speak, because they have taken my Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. Now, at this time, there's been another person in the garden, not necessarily in the sight of everyone else. He's been waiting there all along. Mary has been secure and safe all along. There's nothing that's going to happen to her. She hadn't realized it. And finally she hears a voice. Maybe if you're like me, when you think about how your parents talk to you, maybe sometimes you might recall stern words. You know, my first name is Clayton. The only time I ever heard that name was as a three-parter. Clayton Douglas Johnston. Then I knew trouble was coming. If all three names were used, my attention was being enwrapped so that I would understand the ramification of what was about to happen to me. I don't think that's how Jesus spoke to Mary, Maria. I wonder how she recognized the way that he spoke to her. Wouldn't you like to hear that voice? She is transformed when she recognizes the person that she was looking for is now standing with him. She calls him Rabboni, not Rabbi, but Rabboni. This is this little extra intensive at the end there was used for special teachers, famous teachers, leading teachers. Gamaliel was called this term. The average rabbi was not called this. It's reserved for the greatest teacher. So in that moment, when Mary saw, she wasn't expecting to see him. And the last time she saw him, he was not good to look at. But now he seems to have been restored. Has a couple of marks to remember the death for us forever. Told Thomas to touch. But now he looks, I don't know, better than ever. I don't know how to describe it. But he's in his resurrection body. For us. Mary came to persuade the disciples. Come, come see what's going on. A couple of them finally got, John and Peter. John's a little younger, ran a little faster. That's why he's so often depicted in artwork without a beard like the other ones of them are, like in the Last Supper, because he was the young guy, maybe 20 or so, not sure. But Mary had to come and get them. Hey, guys, remember those things the master said? We don't know what they mean. Well, we need to come and look at something. Their unbelief began to change. Their unbelief. We talk about faith, and faith that is alive is faith that changes you, changes your conduct. You don't really believe something unless you do something about it. Somebody might serve you a dish of food that you've never seen before. And they say, oh, go ahead and you want it. Does it look good? Yeah, it looks good. Do you want some? I'm not hungry. And then you get out of there as fast as you can and you get your Filet-O-Fish sandwich or whatever it is you want to have. You think that, but unless you eat it, you don't really believe that it's very good. Jesus says a lot of things. We believe what God says. We believe what the Bible says. We believe that God wants us to do what he tells us. But sometimes there's a hesitation to actually put that into practice. Why? A lot of things to be afraid of. A lot of things we don't trust God about. These folks went in with both feet after hearing and understanding. Remember, they'd been with Jesus, most of them, for three and a half years. And they still hadn't jumped in all the way. What changes is not the world around us or other people. What Jesus changes now is us. The ones he calls by name. So we oftentimes get disappointed that people around us who are unsaved don't act like they're saved. Guess what? You know why they don't? They're not saved. Who's the one that knows Christ as Savior? Well, it's us. So who should act different? It should be me. Who's supposed to be kind, loving? Who's supposed to be forgiving? Who's supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Not that person down at the office you have to mess with. Not that person in the government position, not that other person you have to deal with at the store because they're not saved. No wonder that they treat that. But we're supposed to respond in what? Different ways. We're supposed to respond as the spiritual one because this is the miracle that God has saved me and I am different as a result.